Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to listeners, you're tuned to Radio Islam International. We welcome you once again to the program, the Rabit Afkar program. And today in the studios, mashallah, is Brother Adil Mia with me. We'd like to welcome Adil on the program. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hola, listeners. It's been a long time, Musab, since we put together on this program. Inshallah, we can try and see if we can still remember how to answer questions and help the people with their motoring problems. Inshallah, they have some questions ready so we can try and assist them in any way, inshallah.
Amin, inshallah. Jazakumullah. Looking forward to the next 45 to 50 minutes. Yes. Dear listeners, it's your 14 program. Give us a call on the number 011-854-1548. 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers are 48855 and alternately 082-580-8070. It's 082-580-8070. We're waiting for the calls as well as the SMSs. Adil, a few questions have come through, my brother. The first question coming through regarding the Liqui Moly products. Is it cost-saving? Is it better performance? Is it better production? And is it fuel efficiency? Let's talk about the oil products first, Adil.
Jim, also a very interesting question. Yeah, the Liqui Moly product basically in our country is now maybe about 5 or 6 years old. It has been introduced into our country. And alhamdulillah, good product, concept, very efficient, very good quality, high quality brand used on the product. We use them ourselves in our workshop. And alhamdulillah, you can actually feel the difference, you know, after service in the car with those products. You can really feel as if the interesting they have, the interesting thing they have an app where you can download onto your mobile phone or also onto to your computer, where you can actually see the correct oil that can be used in your vehicle. You know, a lot of times listeners calling and always when you're taking your car for a service, do you think in your mind, you know, are they really using the correct oil in my vehicle? Am I using the correct oil? What is the correct oil? So basically, if you download the app, and alhamdulillah, on that app they have basically every model you can think of, you know, any car you think of, you just put in the details and it'll tell you exactly what oil to use. And the interesting thing also, it'll even tell you how many liters to put in the car. So there it's a great saving. You can save a time, a lot of time, you know, searching around and asking people different questions. Here you get it straight from the people who make the oil, and they can tell you exactly, and it's proven, tested, and all, and the whole truck is in them also.
Jazakumallah, lovely. The other question coming through is with regards to, it doesn't say what car, it says I've replaced my distributor cap, the module and also the coil, the spark plugs, the wires, fuel filter, and the brother says it's changed the battery also. It was running lovely until one day I was driving and it put it like it was running out of gas. It sounded like it was getting out of gas. So the brother says the car has over half tank of petrol, and I pull over to try and restart it because it had stalled out. And he says, as I'm trying to start my car, I heard a loud, what sounded like a gunshot pop. Not sure from where it came. And since then, we replaced the distributor cap, coil, and module twice. The car was still not start. Don't know what it is. Possibly the sending unit, Adil, the fuel pump. What else should the brother look for? It doesn't say what car.
Jim, it's a very interesting question, not giving us the make of model of the car. So we're going to try and guess and try and help the brother in Salah solve his problem. Yeah, the loud bang you heard when the car stalled, before the car stalled, probably his timing went out. So instead of the engine firing, it backfired. That's what they call. So normally the engine fires up and the car moves forward. So when the engine starts backfiring, that means the timing went upside down. So whatever was supposed to go out through the exhaust was going out through the inlet manifold now.
Okay.
Understand? So basically, instead of going out through the exhaust, the spark went there, the ignition, that's the... The spark went out to the inlet manifold. That's where you had the bang. So basically, he's tried all the basic things that can cause the car not to start, the distributor, the spark plugs, the plug wires and things like that. I think the thing he used to do is do a compression test and see if his cam belt or timing chain is still right. That could have caused a problem. Maybe the timing shell, the belt broke. Or even though maybe the timing could have gone out, maybe jumped the tooth. That you should check first. And then if the car is a new model motor vehicle, you should check the ECU, the engine control unit. That also could be faulty. So maybe you should start there first and maybe give us some more information on what vehicle is. Maybe we can assist you more in that way.
Okay, JazakAllah. What happens once the timing goes out or the timing chain collapses? Does this mean that your valves could be bent?
Once a timing belt breaks on a vehicle, that means the timing, what they call that, the pistons and the valves operate at the same time precisely, so the valves open at a certain time and the piston comes up at a certain time. So that routine is broken and the system is disrupted, then that's where you're going to have the piston then will touch the valve and the valve could bend, or the valve or the piston could hit the valve could hit the piston and cause the piston to break. There's an all sorts of damage and trouble starts in the engine.
Jazakumullah. We go on further. Number to call for the program 011-854-1548. The SMS number is 082-580-8270. Alternately, 48855. The brother's got a Ford Ranger, doesn't say what type of Ford Ranger. I think he's put in a new fuel pump, still does not have pressure, it won't start. It's a Ford Ranger. He was told by the mechanic, put a new fuel pump, he's not getting any spark, the car's not starting. No pressure.
If it's a Ford Ranger, he's put in a fuel pump. The car not starting, he says he put in a new fuel pump, he's got no spark. So basically, I think the problem with that car is the crank angle sensor is faulty. Most of the crank angle sensor is backed up, because remember, the crank angle sensor gives a signal to when to supply the spark and when to supply the fuel to the engine ECU. So if that thing is faulty, it's not going to tell you what to supply when and how. So that's why he's not getting any spark, he's not getting any fuel pressure. So I think that should be changed first. It's a common problem on modern day cars. The crank angle sensor, or in other words, the L5 sensor, should be checked on his vehicle. I think that is the culprit causing this car not to start.
Lovely. Jazakallah for the advice, Adil. Much appreciated. Adil, with regards to the brother has, he wants to buy a 10-year-old Prado, much larger than what he has. It's a heavier, a little slower. It's got about 150,000 on the clock, one on a car. What's your views on this 10-year-old Prado, Adil? Are they good cars, strong cars?
See, most of the Toyota is known, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, a 10-year-old Toyota is basically not even done half his life.
Yeah.
They're so robust, they're so strong on the road, and they're so easily, parts are so easily available for them, and you can really go all over Africa. I mean, they call it the king of Africa, you know, you can really go anywhere with that thing. And the Prados, they're known, anybody who drives a Prado can vouch for me that they are reliable. They are very user-friendly to drive, even on the road and off the road. And I think for a 10-year-old Prado, considering you saying it's in a good condition and all that, I don't think it will be a bad buy. Inshallah, it should be all right for him.
Jazakallah. Adil, the question, SMS question coming through, it states, Assalamu alaikum, can the brothers tell me, please, what's their opinion of a Mazda 3, Adil, and also a Mazda Sting, and at what prices can one purchase these two cars for?
The Mazda Sting, Mosaba, it's an earlier model, so yeah. That you can pick up. I think Mosaba will know better, about 15,000-20,000.
Yeah, about 2,000 models you can pay up to 2,130, good condition. You pick them between 20,000 and 30,000.
They're lovely cars.
They're very strong cars.
They're very easy to maintain. They're good cars. I'll go anytime for a Mazda Sting. They're very underrated, not very popular amongst our people, but they're nice cars. They're very reliable. They're very easy to maintain.
And lovely for town driving.
Very, very good for town. It's got a nice carburetor. It really goes well. The Mazda 3, also another vehicle that is very underrated. A nephew of mine who drives a Mazda 3, and he came once with me to the workshop, and I took it for a spin. I was really impressed. Nice little nippy car.
Very nice cars.
Easy to park, easy to maneuver, and like a good, nice quick city car. I think I'll go for any of the two anytime. The Mazda 3, I think, will be a bit more on the pricier side.
About 50,000, then, yeah.
Around this time, I don't think it would be a problem.
Lovely, guys. Jazakallah for the input, Adil. All right, we're going further. The question coming through, Kia Spectra, Adil. It says that I replace my... The question is asked, is that why does my front brake seem to hold and release when I'm driving? It says because I replace my front brake pads, rotors and calipers both sides. But after I drive for a while, it seems like my car begins to slow down and I can smell my front pads burning. There's also vibration in my steering wheel. There's no visible leaks and everything is on properly and secure. Please help, Adil.
Jim, what's up? I think the problem the brother's got is he's got a brake bind. His brakes are binding. That's why he's getting the smell and the car slowing down. So basically what he should check, the main culprit to check is he should check his wheel bearings. If the wheel bearings are... don't have any play on them, or they're not too tight or not too loose. The other thing, you should check the pressure on the calipers. That means if the caliper pistons are releasing. So maybe he put the new calipers in, like you said, but the caliper feeder hoses, the brake fluid coming from the from the master cylinder feeding the calipers. You should check those in the free movement. That means they're not blocked, or the brake fluid is moving freely within the pipes between the master cylinder and the brake caliper. That should be checked. If you change all what you said you changed, I think that could definitely be his culprit. It's either the brake master cylinder or the pipes leading to the caliper from the master cylinder.
Jazakumallah. Are you allowed to ascertain, you know, a problem between the lifters and also the noise coming from the bottom of the engine bearing knock?
That's a good one, also. That's very difficult. I think you should have a little bit of motoring knowledge.
Also, had problems. I mean, sometimes it's so loud, the lifters, you don't know, is it coming from the bottom or the top?
See, I'll teach you an easy way, Mosab. There's two ways you can actually decipher the noise from the top and the bottom. The first one is the noise on the top is a more lighter noise. So it's more like a clattering noise. You know, it's lighter.
Yeah.
The noise on the bottom is a more like a thunder noise, more like a more clunking noise.
Yeah.
The other way, I think, is very successful also. It can be used. It's while the car's idling, but you should be careful that you don't shock yourself. You take the suppressor plug off each cylinder, so while the car's idling, and you're hearing the clattering noise, as you pull off one by one, you'll see the noise gets louder or softer. If it gets louder, then it is the bottom noise. That means it's either the piston bearings or lower end.
So basically the bogey cords.
You pull them out.
Alright, if the noise gets louder, then you've got to know that it's coming from the bottom.
Yes, and if it gets softer, then it's from the top.
Jazakallah. Allah reward you. Number to call, 854-1548, SMS numbers 0825-8080-70, and also alternatively the other number is 488-55. Another question here is with regards to a Toyota Corolla, lovely, everything keeps coming right, Toyota. The brother says that it's got 1994 Toyota Corolla 1.6i. He was told the valves and seals are gone. How much would this cost him ultimately? Just a few, maybe about 2,500 rands.
It depends on the kilometers on his car, you see. So it also relates to that. Very important. Because two things that can cause, basically he noticed the car smoking. So it can be the valves and seals. You can get away only by changing the valves and seals. You can do it in place because it's an overhead cam. But, I mean, if he's going to go that route, might as well take the cylinder off and even change the valve guides. Because if he's going to go through all that procedure, I think the right way for the brother to carry out this test is remove the spark plugs from the engine and inspect the spark plug. If the spark plugs are really oiled up badly, then rather go for the whole Monty. Take the cylinder off, put in new valve guides, new valve skin, reset in the valves. If there isn't a heavy buildup of oil clogging on the spark plug, then you can only go for the valve stem seal route, which you can say, like Monana said, 2,500, 3,000, then I think it can set you back. But if he's going to go the longer route, it can be over about 4,000 or 5,000 then.
Jazakumullah. Suzuki Vitara, what's your opinion on these cars?
They're nice little off-roaders and on-roaders also. It's a nice, cute little car. Not very popular amongst our people. But Suzuki comes a long way, Monsab. They're not a bad vehicle. It's very underrated. People who drive Suzukis, they're very happy with the product. I don't have any issue. I don't hear many complaints, but they're not really popular. I don't see them much in our communities. I see them more amongst the white people in our areas who drive the Vitaras. They love it, and the Swift also. And it's a nice little car. I think if I had an opportunity, if I need to buy one and it's the only one available, I think I'll go for it. They're nice, snappy, not very problematic that I know of. I don't see them much giving any problems. You know, you can notice a car if you're driving on the road. You know, it's my habit, and when I'm always on the road, I notice cars and how they perform, you know, how they look after a couple of years. And these Suzukis, they don't look like they age very much. It looks like they're nice, nippy little cars.
Jazakumullah. We've gone further. G, line number 2, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
G, my brother.
I just wanted to find out, I've got a 1996 Opel Astra, and I gave it to a mechanic to just put in a fan resistor for me. And but then after, then every time now when I start the car, it doesn't idle. So what can be the problem?
What did the mechanic put in?
A fan resistor.
A fan resistor, okay.
Yeah, for the interior fan.
Okay.
And then day after when I brought it back, and when I start my car and I leave it on idle, it doesn't idle, it switches off. Or even if I drive quite a distance and I come to a stop street, it switches off.
And it's an Opel Astra?
Opel Astra.
What's your model is your Astra?
1996.
And can you give me, is it a 1.6, 1.8?
Or 1.4.
1.4i, or only 1.4?
It is.
Has it got a carburetor, or has it got it in fuel injection system?
No, carburetor.
It's got a carburetor. Mm.
Yes.
Okay, I don't think putting the fan resistor in a vehicle is going to do anything with the car not idling. You put the fan resistor because the fan wasn't working.
Yes, the interior fan.
And before you put the fan resistor, you had no issue with the car switching on?
No issue with the idling, yeah.
And only after the mechanic put the fan resistor in, you noticed that the car switched off. Did he do it immediately or after a couple of days?
Immediately. In fact, the day when I sent to send the car from him, and it started the problem.
And have you taken it back to the mechanic to have a look?
Not yet.
I think maybe take it back to the mechanic, let him have a look. Maybe while working on the car, he could have maybe pulled a wire out, or maybe a vacuum pipe could have come out. I'm not saying he could have done it, or maybe this could be nothing related to your problem with the fan resistor.
Or maybe that day the mechanic's wife was repairing the car, not the mechanic himself.
See, sometimes what they call is Murphy's Law. You know, you take your car for a service, and after the service, since you've done the service, now you've got this issue and that issue. But it's not always the mechanic's fault. You know, it's sometimes like it's just coincidence that maybe that thing was going to pack up, and it just so happened after the mechanic fitted that part, and it just straight after that, it didn't work. You know, you always have the issue that the customer will say, but
what you mentioned something that either the fan pipe or what you said me.
What was it about?
Something for emergency equipment, check up what?
Yeah, you see, if you take it back to him, maybe he can just trace himself backwards and just see, maybe while he was fitting the fan resistor, maybe a vacuum pipe could have come out, or maybe an idling solenoid wire could have come out, something like that. You see, your problem is the idling valve is not recognizing the idle of the car. That's why every time you come in the shop, he's switching off. So maybe while fitting it, or maybe while doing the work, he could have. I'm not saying he done it, he could have done it.
Yeah,
so if he checks it, maybe he can tell you that, nothing he done, and he can point out the problem to you and do it to you. Or maybe the idling just needs adjusting, and your problem is solved.
Okay.
Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jeep. Jeep Grand Cherokee, about brother Adil. Is it your cup of tea, four cylinder? Doesn't say what model.
Jeep Grand Cherokee, very comfortable car, Musa.
Mm-hmm.
Very underrated, very strong.
What about maintenance?
I'm coming to the maintenance side. Only the maintenance side is a bit of an issue. It's not very cheap to maintain those cars. I do a few of them in my workshop, and the parts is an issue. And to get good replacement parts is a problem. But I guess if you got someone staying in the U.S., the parts are really cheap in the U.S., and if you got someone out there who can courier to you or send them to you, it's really a beast. A lovely car to drive, is no issue with them. The diesel ones are very economical on diesel. The petrol ones are slightly heavier. They've come a long way. They built good motor cars. I'm not bending them down anyway, but I enjoy driving them. You know, the Americans, they like things big, and you know, everything is nice. It's comfortable. The main thing about a Chrysler and a Jeep, it's very user friendly.
Yeah.
It's comfortable. It's easy to use. It's not difficult. And it's also not very difficult to repair. But the only downfall is the parts is a problem, and the petrol ones are slightly heavier.
Okay.
But it's come a long way. The newer models are excellent. They're lovely.
Jazakumullah. 854-1548 is the number to call. The SMS number is 0825-808070, and also alternately 48855 G. I'd like to go on further, G. And other the question coming through is with regards to Toyota Camry, the newer ones. It makes a noise when starting first thing in the morning after sitting overnight. It only does this the first time, then the rest of the day when the car is started, it doesn't make any noises. The brother says he was told it could possibly be the power steering pump.
A car starting in the morning and noises in the morning, very difficult to do a diagnosis and tell you exactly what the problem is. But like the brother said, most commonly can be the power steering pump or even the power steering belt. Maybe the belt not tight enough to turn the pulley. And that's when you hear the screeching noise, because the belt slips onto the pulley. Like, you know, if you walk in with leather soles onto on a tile floor, you hear the screeching noise. It's exactly the same thing that happens in the motor vehicle, where the belt rub against the pulley, and then you hear the screeching noise. And the power steering pump making a whining noise could also be the culprit when it's cold, and when it gets hot, can be the cause of the noise also. And the other thing also could be the water pump can also cause a noise when it's cold, the alternator. So there is quite a few factors that can cause a noise, but most likely and most commonly the power steering pump.
Lovely, jazakallah. The brother says, okay, he says his entire life, how old he is, but he doesn't know much about cars. But anyway, he's got a V6 manual Mazda 323. The story is that Adil, he says, as of today, it seems to have lost power when it's driving. When it takes off in the first revs do not go high as usual. And he says all of the gears seem to accelerate slower if I was to put my foot down. So what could be the problem? It seems as though there isn't much compression, Adil.
See, Mosa, there could be a lot of factors leading to the uncle's problem. I mean, plus he's got a V6 manual. So that thing should be awesome in power because, you know, a manual car with a V6, that is awesome power. He's definitely got a problem. Either can be a misfire. Mm. Maybe the car not running on all the cylinders properly. So he's not firing on all cylinders, basically. He could be losing compression because of the age of the car. Because those V6 manuals, I don't think you get them anymore. And, you know, they're quite old. So basically, the easiest route out for the uncle is take it to his local mechanic, let him carry out a compression test firstly. Check the compression of the engine and then check the idling of the engine, spark plugs, plug wires, distributor cap, and all the whole trip should be checked. And definitely, I think they're going to find this problem for him.
Jazakumallah. The brother's got a 2007 Kia Rio Adil 4-cylinder 1.6. He says, the question he's asking is that why is my transmission fluid leaking severely between the engine and the transmission?
His input shaft seal in the gearbox is probably got hard and starting to leak. That is the most common problem. Or there could be a primary pump seal on the gearbox. You said it was automatic, wasn't it?
Si.
Automatic, yeah. So the primary pump seal in front of the primary pump in automatic transmission, that's also common. That could be leaking. So basically, the gearbox or the transmission will have to be removed and inspected which seal it is. And if the car has a higher mileage, probably reseal the whole gearbox and check the gearbox for wear inside and repair it accordingly.
Si. Adil Andy says the car's temperature keeps going high, but there are no leaks and all fluids filled as long as the husband's pressure is not going high. Cars weren't going high, so it's okay, Adil. Anyway, the auntie says, my husband says it needs a thermostat because the hose is too hard and the bottom hose does not appear to have and the fluids coming through it.
She must have, the husband is definitely correct in saying that she needs a thermostat. The thermostat could be the culprit. Noticing that the easiest way to test a thermostat is start the vehicle and notice your temperature when it reaches the operating temperature. Normal operating temperature of most of vehicles are about 80 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
So once it reaches a temperature, it should stay around that temperature. It shouldn't go higher and while idling. If it goes above 90, then you got a problem. So there's two ways the upper can do a test. You can start the engine and see when it comes to operating temperature. Normally, operating temperature on most vehicles is half the halfway mark. So if the temperature needle stays at the halfway mark, you have nothing to worry about. If it starts rising after that, you can put your or fill the top radiator hose. If it's difficult to do it, then don't try it. You fill the top radiator hose if it's hot, and the bottom one if it's cold. If that is the case, then your thermostat is gone. Replace the thermostat. The other thing that could cause it is maybe the engine cooling fan not coming in to cool the engine.
Yeah.
That could also cause the temperature to rise and have a problem. So if it's got no leaks, that could be your two culprits, the engine cooling fan and the thermostat.
Lovely. Jazakumallah. Line number two, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Just on the final note on the Chery QQ.
Chery QQ?
Yeah, Chery QQ.
Yeah, okay.
I feel it's a bit too heavy on fuel. I get 400 to a full tank. It's a 35-liter tank.
It's a 35-liter tank?
Yeah.
That's excellent, brother. You're getting 400 kilometers on a 35-liter tank. That's a three-cylinder car, am I right?
Yeah, three-cylinder.
That's good. That's very good. So you're getting over 10 kilometers to the liter.
Okay, now I just want to know if that was right.
Yeah, that is excellent. For a 1.3 and a 35-liter tank, you're getting... That is a local run. That means it's urban cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going, like, not long distance. It's short distances.
That's good.
That's very good, mashallah. That's excellent.
Okay.
Nothing to worry about. That is very good.
Let's go turbine together, brother.
I just thought this QQ is a light three cylinder, so it should be lighter. That's what I want to find out.
And how long have you got the car from new, or you just?
No, I bought it second hand.
And was the consumption always like this, or you notice a drop or a rise in consumption?
No. I haven't noticed it, but I started putting it up full and then driving it. And I see now I'm getting 400 to a full tank. So that's what I just wanted to know.
You see, most motor manufacturers, especially on a modern day engine, I mean, yours is a normal 1.3, so you got a three cylinder, a three cylinder engine pulling a big car. So so if you had a four cylinder, it could have been lighter, but a three cylinder pulling a big car, which, especially the QQ, is acceptable, because most motor manufacturers will tell you that the urban run between 8 to 12 kilometers, you within the specification. Okay, but if you had a modern-day engine, like a more advanced car, like a VW Up or a Opel Adam, then you will probably get a bit more, but not much more. So basically, you in specification, I don't think you should worry about anything, because to get it better than that, then you're going to just spend unnecessarily and waste time and waste your money. Because a 335-liter thing, you're getting 400 kilometers. You must remember that the bigger cars, like Mercedes and all those cars, with a 65-liter thing, the brothers listening on air, they get about 500-600 kilometers, you know, an urban run. So the uncle is waiting. It's very good.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah. 7:37 p.m. We're going further, inshallah. Line number 3, another caller. We welcome you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam. How are you, Mullah?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, my good friend?
Nice to have you back on the stay. I thought, you know, you're on a holiday every month.
I wish I was on a holiday, brother. Just love holidays, you know. We all love holidays, gee.
No, it's nice to have you back. Where's Abdul Haq for today?
Abdul Haq, possibly with his in-laws, you know how it goes.
Are you dead, or you don't want to give him something to have a drink or something?
No, today he's not with us, he's, I think, with his in-laws. But our friend Adil is with us,
inshallah. I got a question here for BMW 530i. Automatic 2005.
Okay.
2005-06. What do you think I should pay for it?
What's the mileage on this car? It's a 2005.
145.
Brother, I suggest you make mashallah with some BMW dealers regarding this one. Adil, would you say they are very popular cars? No.
They're good engines.
Good engines.
They're good engines. How much do you have in mind? How much do you have in mind to pay?
How much are they asking, brother?
About 103.
It's a 2005
model. 2005.
I don't
know. I think it's a bit high.
Yeah, you know, if I'm comparing to an E-Class, I know more Mercedes, my brother, I'm not very clued up with BMW and the pricing, but if I'm comparing to an E-Class, E-Class with that mileage and that year model, you pay around 90.
I was going to say about 90, brother.
So I think 90 is a fair price, but I can't compare, I mean, I don't know the BMWs, but I think around there, they normally are around there. So if you can maybe negotiate to about 90, I think it's a buy. The 530s, they're very economical, they're good engines. They're lovely little cars, they're not bad.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you think, besides that, which is a, you know, economical automatic, which one you suggest?
You see, it depends on the size of the car, brother. If you want a sedan, yeah. That means that is the
you know, just to run around.
Personally, if you want a good runaround and a nice car to drive, is a Mercedes-Benz C-Class.
Automatic,
2003 upwards, 2004 upwards, very economical cars, nice cars, very good to maintain, and they sell from around 60,000 to 70,000, then you can pick up a nice clean one.
Okay.
So if you're looking at that way, also the BMW 3 Series are not bad. You see, if you're looking at it, depends on which category of car you're looking at, you know, a big car, small car, medium-sized car, you know. Then you
I want something which is not, you know, heavy to maintain it, like I was thinking of like the Toyota or the Polo, you know.
Toyota and Polo, that is, you see, it depends also now, you want the higher brand cars or the lower brand. Toyota and a VW Polo, very economical, very easy to maintain, and very cost effective also. So those are, exactly. You see, that's what I'm asking, I'm telling you, the category is very important. You got to decide.
They say the Toyota and the Polos are also quite, you know, heavy to maintain. It's not like
you see nowadays.
Now,
all motor cars have come to the
top. Also very expensive.
Because of our rand dollar exchange. Now we're feeling the brunt of the prices on parts. The prices on parts really got skyrocketed. And
what about the Ford and the Mazdas?
they all, you know, today all cars are built very impressively. I know I see a lot of motor manufacturers out there. They build some nice cars, man, and you know they take pride in what they do, and they really give the customer a lot of value for money. And now you're mentioning the Mazdas. Don't even underlook the Hyundais and the Kias also. You know, they really make economical cars. They make really cars value for money. You get all the extras in those cars. You can't believe in all
even
the things you need in modern day times. You know, the USB plugs and the lighter chargers and all those niggly things. You know, you won't get in other vehicles. You know, you get them in all these cars. You know, so look at all that. And
that's what I was noticing. You know, that you know, it will be a good buy, like to buy that kind of a car.
Exactly,
you know?
And they're very underrated and they're very economical. I know I drove the Hyundai Elantras and the SNs and, you know, the i20s and that. I was quite impressed, you know, with the fuel economy of them.
Okay.
Hey, Jazakallah, my brother. You take care, okay?
All
right, you take care, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. 7:44 p.m., 854-1548, SMS 48855, and alternately 0825-808070G. Call on the line, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. G, my brother.
I just wanted to find out on the automatic car, they have got a button that overdrives. Must it be on or off when you drive it locally, an automatic car?
Yeah, if you drive it locally, it's fine to switch it off. Mostly for long distance, if you want to switch it on, it's fine. Like short distance driving, you're not going to go into overdrive because you're not going very far. But if you're going like from here to Joburg and all that, basically the overdrive, you're going to save fuel. And if you're going to leave it on overdrive, you're going to change the gears and you're more for torque. Yeah? And you'll use more fuel if you don't use the overdrive.
So it means if you're traveling from Lens to Johannesburg, it's preferable to keep it on.
Yeah, keep preferable to keep it on.
Oh, but like you're using it around Lens.
Yeah, it's fine, then you can leave it off. Because if you go over there, you're going to get an extra gear. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, my brother, you take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum wassalam.
I did the question coming through. It states, okay, let's take this one here. It says, I got a 2007 Jetta. Another caller? Yes, let's take up a call.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Maulana, I have a 535 diesel.
Okay.
I heard you just commented on the 530i.
Okay.
But this is a 2012 model. It's got about 53,000 on the clock.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know more or less, what should I be looking at? Is it a good trade-in?
It's a 530 diesel or 535 diesel?
No, 535 diesel.
And what's your model is it?
2012.
Yeah, retinal will be high. Maybe BMW, how much?
You're looking at, what you asking for, brother?
What can I get for it?
Okay. Leave your telephone number with the engineer, inshallah. After the program, we'll tell you more or less what. I don't have the book with me at this point in time, brother.
All right.
All right. But what we're expecting, okay. Just an idea.
I was hoping about 420.
420.
Three.
Okay. All right, brother.
All right.
You can get married many times on that money, brother.
Yes, inshallah.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Quarter to 8, brother's got a 535i diesel. Yes, I did 420,000 rands.
A lot of money.
Line number 5, another caller. Assalamu alaikum, G.
Hello.
See my brother.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
My name is Abdulhakir.
Gee, my name is Muhammad.
Okay, JazakAllah. You know, I just want to find out about a Golf 4.
Yeah.
2004 model. It's a diesel TDI.
Yeah.
I think it's a 1.9, right?
Yeah.
Kilos 192,000.
Okay.
Right. What would be a good price, Mulana?
You wanna buy it?
Gee.
What are they asking? Call
for. They're asking high, man. They're asking for 65.
No, I think it's a bit high, brother.
Gee.
For the call 1.9 TDI, 65 is a bit high.
Yeah. What would you be suggesting?
I don't know exactly, my brother, but 65 is quite high.
I would say around 15. Eh?
Yeah.
50, yeah. But you know what is more important to find out is, you see, it's got 192.
Gee.
right? And then you look.
I think about 55 also will be not bad, eh?
55, eh?
55. I'll just make sure about somebody else as well.
GG. But engine-wise, it's gone 192. You're looking at...
How's the general condition of the car? Was it re-sprayed?
No. The condition is fair. It's not mint. Condition is okay. But what I'm talking about, the turbo, you see, that's what's my worry.
Yeah. I didn't...
See, the turbos are a bit of a problem on those cars, especially when the mileages are high. And the cost of repairing a turbo or replacing turbo is quite high.
That's what I was thinking.
So I think before purchasing the vehicle, you know, just ask the seller that if you could just take it for a check, you know, maybe take it to your technician. Or maybe take it even for the A, they'll charge you about 400 or 500 and do a thorough test on the car for you.
Right.
And you can make a decision from there. But I think also, yeah, around 55.
Yeah,
it's a fair deal. Maybe you can offer him around there and see what he says.
And the turbo on those vehicles? What price you looking at around?
The turbo on those vehicles, I think they range from about 4 to about 8,000.
Yeah, it's around there.
Okay, Jazakallah, man.
Okay, uncle. Allah Tilo Baraka. Assalamu alaikum. Adil, the question via SMS, it states, Assalamu alaikum. I have a 2007 1.9 TDI Adil. Automatic. Underneath the carriage in the front, there's a sound coming out as if something is leaking, like air. What's the cause? And the mileage is 139.
So, where's the noise coming from, sir?
Underneath the carriage in the front.
From the inside the car, outside the car? You didn't tell you.
I'm sure outside the car, Jihad.
Like a leaking noise?
Yes, like a leaking air. You say like a like air sound.
There could be a lot of things relating to that noise, sir. He could have maybe a vacuum pipe.
Could he maybe drive over a cat or something?
Or maybe an intake pipe. Or what car was it again, Musa?
It's a 2007 Jetta 1.9 TDI automatic.
Okay, now that's simple. The air leaking from underneath the car could be his turbo pipe. His turbo pipe's got a hole in it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why he's hearing that sucking noise or the air noise. When they have the turbo pipe checked, also very common on these cars when the car gets older. The turbo pipes tend to perish and make a noise, especially when you're accelerating, you'll hear more of a sucking and air leaking noise.
So
that is his problem.
Adil, you're the man. Jazakallah. All right, the question coming through, Adil, the question is that, where I put the brake fluid in it, it pours straight out. How do I fix it?
If you pour the brake fluid in and pour straight out, he's got a leak of note. he's probably his brake reservoir bottle where it holds the brake fluid. If it's leaking out through there, that's the only place where it's going to leak, because the other places you'll have to pump the brake pedal to leak out, because it's not operating. So without operating the brake, if it's leaking out, his brake reservoir bottle is leaking, so change the brake reservoir bottle. And while he's depressing the brake, if it leaks, then he's got a lot of work to check exactly where it could be. One of the pipes, one of the caliper seals, but most commonly the pipe could be leaking on that one. But if he's pouring it in immediately leaking out, then it's a brake reservoir bottle is leaking.
Okay, Jazakallah. The brother says the fuel injectors keep getting clogged. How can I clean the fuel system?
The fuel system, the most economical way to clean the fuel system, we were talking about Liqui Moly early on when we just posed, Molina posed the first question. They have a good product. It's called a fuel injector cleaner, where you just toss it into the tank, especially on an empty tank. And if you toss that thing in, it does wonders there. It really cleans the system. Yeah. That's one way of doing it. The other way is you've got to take the fuel injectors out and have them electronically cleaned, where you take it to the fuel injection specialist, where they put it on a machine and have it cleaned for you. That's a more costlier way. But the efficient way is to buy one of those fuel injectors. A lot on the market.
What about the diesels, Adil? You get
one for the diesel also.
It'll be written for diesel engines.
For diesel, yes.
You got to put it once the diesel's full in the car?
It's advisable. I normally put it in when it's about quarter or half, because you'll get a more effect on the product.
Okay.
Advisable every third or fourth tank to do it. It definitely will save a lot of money on fuel injection and cleaning the fuel line system.
And no harm can come to the
car. No harm.
All right. I'm going to try it out. I have an Isuzu KB280 double cab.
Right.
I'm going to try it out, inshallah. Jazakallah.
Okay.
All right. Limited time available. Just a few minutes. We terminate the program. They're out there, inshallah. The questions came through. And give us a call on the number 011-854-1548. And also the SMS is 0825-8080-70. And alternately 48855. 48855. Adil, the brother says, alright, let's take this question here. The car stalls off the highway, driving at a stop, starts, put in gear, stalls again. The brother has to wait 20 minutes after cooling, then the car goes only.
Automatic.
It's an automatic Audi.
Yeah. He's got a problem in the gearbox, Monsa. Either his oil is very short in the gearbox, or the oil is contaminated, or the torque converter is a problem. So basically, definitely, the cheapest and economical way to sort his problem out is take it to his technician, let him inspect the oil.
Yeah.
If the oil is all cloggy and dirty, he can change the oil first and try. Or if not, if there's any signs of filings on the oil, then you'll have to pull the gearbox.
I don't know what is meant by RMI.
Most of the RMI is the retail motor industry of South Africa, that is like basically an organization. Most workshop and most motor manufacturers, most filling stations belong to, where basically they the voice of the automotive industry in our country. So basically, if you join them, you join an organization where they give you, they advise you on things that are happening. You apply to a code of conduct, so if you are a member of them, you know, it's a whole lot of things you have to adhere to when signing up with them. Your workshop has to be in a certain condition, you have to do a certain amount of labor law acts, you have to fulfill safety acts in the workshop. Basically, people who are affiliated with the RMI are basically what you can say a professional workshop. They are workshops that have adhered to a code of conduct, which honesty, reliability, safety on the cars, safety on fixing the cars, it's all bounce to it.
Lovely. Last call, the final call for tonight's program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Chiben.
Well, I just like a very interesting program. I don't know if what's automatic car, so it's something new to me. What are the N and the 1 and the 2? When do you use those things, the gears?
Okay.
N, the 1 and the 2, Appa.
Gee, I can drive, I know
you
drive,
but
those are not what you
No, you've got to be careful, Appa, when you're driving these automatic cars.
You shouldn't ask one another question.
Appa, the N is when you take the car out at night, you're going to put in an N. Adil,
and the R is for race, yeah, so you put it in R, you race the car.
See,
Appa, the 1 and 2 at the bottom of the gear lever, you use that mostly for towing. So if you tow in a vehicle, or you tow in a caravan, or you tow in a boat, then if you're going to climb a hill, you'll need more power and more torque, so you'll engage one or two. Basically, what you're doing with one and two is you're selecting the first and second gear manually, like how you did on a manual car.
Okay.
If it's in D, it will change automatically. So if you want one gear to engage alone, you'll basically put it in one, it will stay in one gear till you put it in two or in drive again. So basically, to give you more pulling power, if you're climbing up a hill, towing a car or towing a caravan or towing a boat.
Normally, you just use your
truck. Normally, you put it in D for daytime and you carry on G.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, Adil, jazakallah for the lovely program. 4 minutes to 8 o'clock. Inshallah, we continue. Allah willing, next week, Adil.
Jimallah, inshallah. So I'm just coming back to the brother with the 535 diesel. I think the what he had in mind, I'm looking now, between 350 and 400,000. Those are the going rates to get for that car. So if the car is in immaculate condition and the mileage is low, he can even get higher for it.
All right, jazakallah. All right, we terminate the program. We say jazakum Allah to our engineers, real brother Salim, from Mr. Muhammad Kara, and our engineers and brother Adil. Have a lovely weekend, inshallah. Not forgetting the Radio Islam mobile clinic launch taking place tomorrow morning from 7 o'clock onwards at the LMA Hall. Free sugar testing, you know, high blood pressure testing. Come along, inshallah, at the LMA Hall tomorrow morning, starting off at 7 o'clock. From Mr. Muhammad Kara, inshallah. Have a lovely weekend. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.